From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Paul Provenza, Paula Poundstone, and Roxanne Roberts. And here again is your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. It's time now for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, I'm Fred Douglas from Basking Ridge, New Jersey.
Hey, Basking Ridge, not far from where I grew up, the family man's. What do you do there?
I'm a computer scientist. I'm a researcher with IBM.
Oh, yeah. IBM had a place out there, if I remember. So are you a billionaire?
I'm afraid not.
Oh, well.
I skipped the startup phase, I guess.
Well, nice to have you with us, Fred. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Fred's topic?
For your account balance, press 1. For transfers, press 2. To speak to one of our operators, don't hold your breath.
So customer service isn't really a service. It's more like a trial. This week we read about one adventure in customer care that struck us as particularly absurd. Our panelists are going to tell you 3 stories of people who got lost in the customer service maze. Choose the real story. You'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to play?
Okay.
First up, let's hear from Paul Provenza.
Ms. Maddie Gardner of New York City was shocked to open her electric bill several months ago to find a total of over $600,000. Normally, her bill is around $60. Assuming the problem was simply a misplaced decimal point and not overuse of her air conditioner, she tried to correct the problem with Con Edison of New York. They assured her that the decimal point was exactly where it was supposed to be, and after 4 months of bureaucratic wrangling, her electricity was summarily shut off. Ms. Gardner filed a suit against the utility company, during which time it was discovered that the decimal point was in fact correctly placed. The bill wasn't. Mrs. Madison Gardner had been receiving bills meant for Madison Square Garden. Madison Square Garden, meanwhile, paid $68 for that month and were in no hurry to correct the mistake.
A woman ending up carrying the bill for Madison Square Garden, and nobody will believe her. Your next story of trouble in the world of customer service comes from Roxanne Roberts.
Retired English teacher Shirley Kaufman wanted a talking bird and spent $1,500 on an African gray parrot from Feathers and Fur Pet Shop in Raleigh, North Carolina. The store has a 100% satisfaction guaranteed policy, so when the bird died 2 months later, owner Joe Zegna apologized profusely and replaced it with a Quaker parrot who already talked. Unfortunately, this bird swore like a sailor, and an exasperated Kaufman took it back to the store. Zegna was beside himself and begged her to give him another chance. The next day, he delivered a yellow-headed Amazon parrot to her home. All was well for 3 weeks until the local sheriff turned up and arrested Kaufman for illegal possession of a smuggled animal. Zegman, who apparently really didn't realize the bird's origin, paid Kaufman's bail and fines, and she's now the proud owner of a free purebred Cocker Spaniel puppy named Polly.
A real-life version of the dead parrot sketch leads to jail for an unsuspecting customer. Your last story of customer disservice comes from Paula Poundstone.
The phone banking system at the Halifax Bank in Greater Manchester has branded customer Graham O'Brien as a suspect customer and repeatedly refused him access to his account because of his high voice. Mr. O'Brien answered all security questions correctly 5 separate times, but unfortunately he did so in his normal Tweety Bird lilt, and the phone banking staff still thought he was a woman trying to defraud. Mr. Graham, a law lecturer at Leeds College, was forced to go to the bank to clear up the misconception, but afterwards the telebanking problem continued, prompting Graham to return to the bank to threaten a sexual discrimination suit in a face-to-face meeting with the head of customer service. "Just because a man has a high-pitched voice, does that mean he's a woman?" he complained.
"Of course not,"
she answered.
So, Fred, let me review your choices. From Paul Provenza, the story of a woman who got a very high electricity bill that didn't make any sense till she found out that she was supposed to be Madison Square Garden. From Roxanne Roberts, a woman, all she wanted was a parrot, and what she got was jail. And your last story was, of course, from Paula Poundstone, describing a man who could not get his bank to believe that he was a man because of his high, squeaky voice. Which of these is the real story of problems with customer
clearly
service?
None of them. But
clearly, yes.
Oh, dear. I'm going to have to go with the Paula, the suspect voice, because
really?
I know that they're trying all sorts of voice recognition things, and that seems maybe plausible.
I see. So you're using your computer expertise to assume that it is, in fact, Paula who's telling the real story.
Yeah.
All right. Well, your story then was Paula's. Well, we spoke to somebody familiar with the situation to bring us the real answer.
I would tell the man with the squeaky voice that he should perhaps consider lowering his voice a little bit when he talks to the customer service personnel.
That was Ben Popkin, editor of the website consumerist.com, and an expert in customer service. He was explaining why the man with a high-pitched voice should probably switch to a different bank. You are correct, Fred. Paula, in fact, had the right answer. You did well.
Thank you.
Congratulations. You got it right. You earned a point for Paula, which is particularly important this week. And you will win Carl's voice on your home answering machine.
Excellent.
Very well done, Fred. Thank you so much for
Thank
playing.
You.
But Carl's voice is going to be like this.